Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is a special podcast, our second mailbag, and our second special podcast
before
we get back to regular episodes. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin. And, you know, for some of those new people joining us, we do actually do regular podcasts. But yeah. I think we have a whole bunch of new listeners now just
we do.
For our special podcast, which is really cool. Thank you for joining us. If you are new to this Arrowhead community, we're really stoked. We're doing this because we've got more than 5,000 likes on our Facebook page. So,
yeah,
so that's a pretty awesome community. Yeah. Thank you guys. I'm so excited to talk to all of you about this awesome show and excited that people want to have a talk and conversation with us about the show. So that's pretty cool. So that's why the mailbag episode occurs. We did one for season one, so you can head back and listen to that one as well if you already haven't. And then I'm excited. I think it's good to be like an annual thing. Talk to people specifically about the show and without an episode centric idea.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, let's start with the most requested topic.
Yes.
Almost to the point of driving us a little bit batty, let's say.
Which I didn't expect that to happen. Like, of all the things that we talked to Steven about,
it kind of blew up.
It did.
Yeah.
So for those of you that listened to the last podcast, we interviewed Steven Amell, which was amazing and awesome. Yeah. And of course, he was asked about, asked a question about the extended universe or the...
No, you're mixing up.
I read a Star Wars thing today.
Yeah, you're poorly mixing up Star Wars because it's Expanded Universe.
Expanded Universe, sorry.
And it's one of my pet peeves because people will call it the Extended Universe.
I have the Expanded Universe in the thing that I'm doing, so that's
like, and it's like, no, it's the Expanded Universe in Star Wars.
Okay.
The EU. And this
also
is the Cinematic Universe.
There you
that's,
go.
That's what we're talking about. So yeah, for those who for those who are listening to this episode and didn't listen to the last episode, first of all, why? Like, no, just why? Like, what are your priorities? That is very odd. What Steven said, essentially, was that they don't focus on it in that way of saying, like, oh, we hope that this links up. We hope that these will be connected. What they do is they focus every week on creating definitive versions of the characters, mm-hmm. so that if they're having those conversations at Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. that they will be able to look at Arrow, they'll be able to look at Steven's portrayal of Oliver Queen, and Katie Lotz as Black Canary, and Grant Gustin as the Flash, as Barry Allen, and say, yeah, let's throw these guys in there, right? Like, let's make a nod to them. And I mean, there's a lot of rumors right now going around that Grant Gustin will be in Justice League. Like, there's and that's the other thing is that it's not going to be Batman versus Superman.
No,
it's not Man of Steel 2. It's just Justice League. And
I feel like all of my Facebook feed is just people posting new things about that show every day, just about the movie, like what's
about
going
the,
on.
Yeah.
And
well, I think a lot of that's coming from the Quiver.
Group, it probably
right?
is.
Because,
really
because a lot of
that,
people
yeah.
really want to know. Mm-hmm. And I maintain that I've been saying it for a while that it will be Justice League. They'll come out at Comic-Con. And they're gonna drag it out until then, which is just ridiculous because that's July, right? Like June or July, I can't remember when it is this year. They'll drag it out until then, stringing us along with little tiny bits of information, little announcements. And I am almost positive that they're gonna walk out for the Batman versus Superman panel, and the first thing they're gonna do, they're gonna introduce Zack Snyder. He's gonna come out and he's gonna be like, so we have something to show you, and they're just going to play a title intro where it's going to be the Batman Superman logo, and it's going to like explode or something, and the words Justice League will be on screen, and it's going to be the Justice League movie, and after that they'll bring out Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, who you expect to be there, mm-hmm. and then Gal Gadot, and then. Hopefully, I mean, and like, I really hope this, and I do see it as a possibility. Them bringing out Grant Gustin and Stephen Amell,
that'd be so amazing,
and maybe even a couple more actors, because apparently, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is supposed to be in a DC movie, but we don't know if it's Justice League. The rumor is that Jason Momoa is also going to be in this movie. Really? And Doomsday is going to be one of the characters, so either The Rock or Jason Momoa could be...
I don't know who Jason Momoa is.
Yes, you do. Khal Drogo.
Oh, yeah. I know Khal Drogo. Okay. Interesting. You know what the thing is, though?
So many rumors.
As much as, like, all of these things exist...
Yeah.
It's a different world in producing, and I just, like, I really hope that they are listening to the fans right now, because in your brain as a producer, you're like, movies are different than TV, and this would be groundbreaking. Yeah. People don't realize how groundbreaking it would be if they included Stephen Amell in the cinematic universe. Like, that would just be unprecedented.
And, you know, like, all I'm looking for, because I don't think that he needs to go toe-to-toe with Batman and...
But if
and
they
Superman, and that's too much
it.
For one movie.
Right.
I want the movie to happen. Yeah. I want everything to happen in the movie. Superman and Batman meet, and then Wonder Woman comes in and beats the crap out of both of them.
Yes. Awesome.
And lays down the law, and then they become like they become the DC Trinity, right? Become that team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the end of the movie is Batman saying, like, something very negative and dark about how the world is a horrible place, and then Superman going, no, like, it's full of all of these people who are trying to make a difference. They're all over. They're throughout the world, and all we have to do is be a beacon. We have to be the thing that brings them together. And, like, as they're doing this, it's, like, voiceover, and as it's happening, you get, like, The Flash running through the streets of Central City, and then you get, you know, like Oliver on a rooftop and just like with the hood sort of doing like a very moody Oliver
whatever it is
looking over the city, right? And you just pop in with these different characters to say, guess what?
Yeah.
The world is so much bigger than just these three characters.
So I have to play devil's advocate, because I actually think that the more likely scenario out of that, I really hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But the more likely scenario is for Warner Brothers to license Arrow to include a reference to Man of Steel or something like that, like to the movie. I think is like a more likely scenario than them actually like bringing the television show into the movie is bringing the movie into the television show and validating it in that way. Like, I think that just in terms of
I get what you're saying, and I understand, like, yes, logically, based on what we, how Hollywood worked 6 months ago, I totally agree with you. How Hollywood works or will be working after the launch of S.H.I.E.L.D., because that's the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. works. And after,
if, like you said,
I hope that Warner Brothers and DC are listening to the fans, and they're listening to the community, because the community is giving a resounding thumbs down to S.H.I.E.L.D. Not because S.H.I.E.L.D. is a bad show, but because it's not what we were promised, right? Mm. And what they're doing is having these, like, offhanded references to the movies, but they're not actually connected. I mean, spoilers for I think it was like the third episode before the winter break.
Okay.
This
is going to spoiler me too, because I haven't caught up yet. But that's okay.
There was an episode that tied into Thor: The Dark World, right?
Okay. Nice.
And in this episode, like, they build it as like, oh, it's the connective thread between S.H.I.E.L.D. and Thor 2, and you know, see Thor 2 and then watch this episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. because if you don't watch both of them, you're not getting the whole story. Like, they really, like, played up all of that stuff.
Idea.
And then it ended up literally being the episode opened with some clips from Thor and then, like, on to some characters, not in London, somewhere else. Like, or maybe they were in London, but they were off-site. They weren't in the same location from the movie.
Okay.
They didn't even try and pretend like it was the same location.
Okay.
Like, they were in, like, a warehouse or something, if I remember.
Okay.
And they're collecting, like, pieces of rock and stuff that may have come in contact with aliens. So, you know, like, to control contamination or make sure that nobody's getting anything. So that was a little bit of connective tissue. Is that, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. cleans up after this. We already knew that. It's not new information. It's just having our heroes, I'm using my quote fingers, from the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show being involved in it for no reason whatsoever. just completely.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with the story. Itself,
it has nothing to do with the Rising Tide. Yeah. It has nothing to do with Coulson. It has nothing to do with any of them. It's just a stunt, right?
Interesting.
And then the episode goes on to be about a completely unrelated Asgardian artifact that just coincidentally somebody pulls out of a tree.
Or whatever,
In like the first 5 minutes of the episode. Okay. And the thing that's frustrating for me is that you go into it and you expect one thing and then they totally underdeliver. But even with the underdeliver, they could have done it in a way that would have, you know, like that would have tied it to the movie. Instead, like, it's completely unrelated. And all they needed was one throwaway line where somebody goes, oh, because of what happened, because Thor was around, because Mjolnir and the gamma pulse
object, or other,
this satellite pinged a thing and we found a similar energy signature inside this tree. And so we've been looking for this thing and we went after it and we recovered the Berserker staff, right?
Whatever,
Like that is it. That's all you had to do. That's
but they just
it.
Didn't do that. They instead, just, it was just like they ignored
didn't
it.
Bother. Oh. Yeah.
Like, well, see, now this is where I'm coming from. I think that is, if you have a property that's specifically spun off of like the most popular movie series that's existed in the last, and you aren't allowed as the producers of that television show to do that, it shows me that the system is broken, and that's why I'm judging. Because the thing is, if they, and this is my counterpoint to your counterpoint, right?
Yeah.
If they can't even do that with S.H.I.E.L.D., I think they're less likely to do with DC.
But I don't...
Unless there's someone so smart at DC going... Because all they're doing right now is going, Marvel's working. Look at how Marvel's working. Marvel's working.
But that's the whole point.
Like,
that's the whole point, though, man, is that they're watching Marvel so closely and trying to ape it.
But if they're smart, then... But this is the thing. It takes them to go that extra bit beyond, which is actually kind of reductive, right? It's beyond but reductive to go, this specific thing that Marvel's doing, while it seems like it could be succeeding, here's the one thing it's not, and this is what DC could do better. It's the chances for that to get past focus groups, to get past meetings with executives.
Well, I don't think
CEOs,
it doesn't have to get past that many people. It doesn't have to get past focus groups. Like, nobody's focus grouping this stuff.
Well,
like, this is a matter of, like, they have
data,
a focus group.
Data pulling or whatever.
But it's called Twitter, and Twitter is specifically saying, we feel ripped off by S.H.I.E.L.D. So for DC and Warner Brothers to be watching so closely, the only data that they can be pulling is, don't do what Marvel
is
doing, because the fans are pissed.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s only not working in a very select part of the community that thinks S.H.I.E.L.D. is not working, because it is in other parts. There are a lot of people that are watching S.H.I.E.L.D. and really enjoying it.
The problem is it's just all numbers.
But it's all numbers, and all they're going to see is, like, what is working? How can we do the things that are working? And then seeing the things that are not working, they're not going to understand the nuance of that. That's what makes fandom like such a like a great thing, is because we understand the nuances.
I think you're giving us too much credit.
Really? I think you're giving producers too much credit.
No. It is their job. I mean, not the producers, but I think that I think that when you look at the creative team that is currently behind this, specifically the people right at the top of this endeavor of Man of Steel 2, Batman versus Superman. And that's Zack Snyder and his wife. I think it's Deborah Snyder. They are very in tune with what people are talking about, with how people are vocal about certain things. He did a Q&A with Kevin Smith when the Blu-ray came out.
Right.
And in that Q&A, I mean, they talked about the Zod... spoilers for Man of Steel. If you haven't seen Man of Steel by now,
watch it.
Shame on you. If you're listening to a DC related podcast and you haven't seen Man of Steel, I have no patience for you. Go watch it now.
You're so negative.
No, it's just, like, you don't. If you're watching Arrow, but then you're like, Superman is lame, I'm not gonna watch Man of Steel, then you're doing yourself
a
disservice.
Different things. You're
it doesn't.
To...
No. No. They're not different things. They're the same thing. Okay. They're just different different parts.
Here, I'm going to rephrase what Mike said. If you haven't watched Man of Steel and you enjoy Arrow, you should check it out, because you would enjoy it, because they're related things.
No, you're being way too apologetic. Stephen Amell told you to stop being so Canadian. You need to listen.
Sorry.
You need to knock it off.
Did I make you lose your thing?
No, no. Okay. He said to all of the people who were like, oh, that's Superman never kills. Superman. He went on the internet, I mean, the TV, essentially, the internet, and on this Yahoo movies thing, and said, first of all, you're wrong. Superman killed in the comic, Superman killed in Superman 2. He killed Zod in the first movie that Zod showed up in. And Zod had no powers at that point. Like, he literally pushes him down a chasm, and then Lois pushes Ursa down into that chasm as well.
Yeah.
And they smile while they do it. Like so much less heroic than what Superman does in Man of Steel.
It's so,
A difficult choice, and that's a heroic thing to do, is to make that sacrifice of self.
His morals
in order to save people.
Oh, I got goosebumpies, like, thinking about
it. I know,
that
exactly.
Moment.
And you don't get goosebumps thinking about when Superman throws a cellophane S at Nan, and then they depower them and push them down a cliff. It's not goosebump worthy, it's just goofiness. But like he addressed that stuff and he talked about it, and he talked on a level addressing specifically what people were saying online after the movie came out.
Right.
And he addressed that stuff and then said, like, going forward, we know how everybody feels, and the feedback is so important because it's going to inform the next step. And at that point, we knew Superman, Batman, and, like, they're talking about... They talked a little bit about that, and they showed some concept art. I don't know if I would call it concept art. They were more, like, tone pieces than concept art. But, I think that those people who are creatively in control of where this is going, the people that DC and Warner Brothers are putting a lot of stock in, right? Like, I mean, they put a lot into Christopher Nolan and let him do what he was going to do, and they kind of sideline everything else during that process. Like, once The Dark Knight became what it was, Christopher Nolan had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted to do. Part of the reason why I think that last movie is a little bit wishy-washy and here and there, and it's not the best out of those three by far.
Well, it's not.
I mean, Batman Begins is the best movie. Dark Knight is everybody's favorite because it's a really good magic trick. And then the third one is just kind of this flimsy...
It had
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he was Robin, but he wasn't Robin.
I know,
He was a cop-out, but it was kind of cool.
I don't know. Okay. But there's only so much... I think we could just, like, talk ourselves in circles about all this stuff. But it's interesting. So this is, like, this is good. And I will put a little bit more faith in them now, I guess. Like, it's good to, like, hear all these things. It's just, like, the thing that just sucks so much is that I feel that fandom is often, like, held hostage by the needs that we just can't even think about, right? The idea that, like, advertising models for television work differently than funding models for movies. Mm-hmm. And the thing that will suck is if something, like, comes up that has to derail that because of things that are so outside of the creator's control. Anyways, let's just hope that, I guess there's only ways to hope and, like, keep sending Stephen Amell good vibes and, like, hoping that the Arrow universe, it would be really awesome.
I guess the pin in that is that Arrow is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be
so the ultimate thing is, I think that there's enough faith that's being shown in the show, not only by the creators, but by the people watching the show, that we're like, hey, we believe that this could stand.
I think that, I mean, financially, Man of Steel blew box office records, and it did all the stuff that a superhero movie does in the summer and everything. But I think on a longer-term scale, I think Arrow will be looked at as a bigger success because of what it did. Because of what it did for superhero TV shows.
If
you listen to Stephen Amell talk about this stuff, he doesn't like
to use that
distinguishing
as like
it specifically as superhero. But I mean, I think in a few years what we will look at is the way that we look at Buffy now as the thing that sort of brought genre television into the mainstream. I think we'll look at Arrow as one of those pieces of connective tissue to say genre TV is just TV. It doesn't have to be this defined as genre.
Right.
Because of the level of quality that they put in every week.
Which is,
and the care and attention to it, right?
Yeah.
So I think as long as they continue to do that, and I think, I mean, with the way that the season break, that mid-season finale left us with Slade and everything, I mean, it can only go up from here. It's only going to get better.
So amazing.
And I think it's in DC's best interest to weave it into the movies, but...
Can I ask the first question for the mailbag?
Yeah,
I just realized, I don't know if this is one of the emails you've chosen, but I just want to ask, how awesome was Stephen Amell? Was he as awesome in real life as you thought he was going to be? And I want to just, can we just give the anecdote about the DVD? Because that was really cool.
Oh, like my Blu-ray?
Your Blu-rays. So we just want to say, like, Stephen Amell, thank you again for such an awesome interview. And I mean, everybody obviously knows how amazing he is. But like... We were there, and after we did our interview, he sort of stayed and, like, sort of... The first thing he said, he's like, so you guys want me to sign some stuff? And I had brought my Blu-rays, and Mike had forgot his Blu-rays. Didn't get them from Amazon.
Amazon had shipped them, but they still hadn't shown up.
Oh, right, yeah. So I had just got mine, like, the day before. Yeah. So I was like, yes, I'm so excited. So he signed mine, and then to Mike, he's like... Oh, well, that's okay. I'll just, like, what is it? He said, I'll just get you something or I'll send you something.
Well, you were trying to figure it out.
Like, I was trying to manage it.
Yeah,
I was trying to be like, what can we do?
It was classic Amanda, where she was like, I can solve this problem. And because you had gotten the inside
sleeve. I had the inside of the sleeve, and I was like, well, Mike can maybe get the outside of mine signed, and then we'll just trade when he gets his.
Yeah, and Stephen goes, you know what? Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'll send you something.
Yeah.
And so, like, I went, oh, that's cool. The fact, like, that was cool. The fact that he would say, like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of you. It's all good.
That was sort of just him saying...
Yeah,
like,
even if he was
like,
just being a good guy
and
just being like, don't worry about it, you know, we'll get it sorted. Because, I mean, my attitude was, whatever, the next time we interview him, I'll get him to sign it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And signatures are also not, like, that's not something
it's
that
just
I...
A, yeah, it's,
I'm
but
not
it was just,
like
a cool thing that he was there, besides the course, but...
But the best part of it is that then Amanda and I had a conversation later on, because it was, like, later that week.
Or something,
and it was, like, we were still talking to him to let him know, you know, we're cutting it. This is when it'll go up and everything, and I'll send you all the information and stuff. And I was like, oh, so... How do I politely bring up the fact that he said that he'd send me something?
Yeah.
And before I could even send an email, he sent me an email saying, hey, so just so you know, I'm dropping something off at the comic book store for you today.
So cool.
And it was like, that to me...
Is that like
says
have,
so
yeah.
much more about his character than anything else in the experience, because... Mm-hmm. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. Mm-hmm. He's a TV star flying all over the place. It was 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it was a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he's still shooting at this point.
Yeah.
And getting ready to go on their break so that he can go wherever. I think they went to Mexico
or something like that for the holidays.
Yeah. Awesome pictures from the beach and stuff with his awesome mustache.
Yeah.
All these things going on, and he still remembered and then took the time to drop off a Blu-ray set, like a season one Blu-ray for me, was signed and everything, and just like the coolest guy. Like
it's just like the ultimate
above and beyond.
Yeah. So it was just like of the experience itself. That was the thing that really stood with me, is that like he's like straight up exactly what you think based on like his Facebook posts and things like that.
Yeah.
So it was just like really cool.
He's not playing to an
audience. Yeah, he's not playing. No.
When he goes on Facebook and he interacts on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not performing for you. He's not trying to generate a fan base so that he can have a longer career.
He
genuinely engages with everybody. He wants to know what we think. He wants to be a he doesn't just want to like shout at the community, he wants to be involved in the community, and that is such a cool thing. Amanda and I had said this a couple of times to each other, but we totally hit the jackpot when we decided let's do a podcast about Arrow. It was just convenience. We were gonna hang out and watch Arrow anyways, like we did with Smallville, so like let's just talk about it on mic instead. And we never could have known that we were going to get the awesomeness that is Stephen Amell. Yeah.
Because he's just that's just such a thing that you can't plan, right?
No,
the people that and I mean people are noticing this about Stephen Amell. I think recently today he posted that Arrow is going to let him post exclusive photos on his Facebook, which is really cool. So like people, I mean, I don't have to tell. This is like what you know, shouting at people that already know. But like, stay engaged with him. He's a really awesome guy. And, and thanks Stephen for being a part of this community or for leading this community in many ways.
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
Awesome. So that, you know, is the first half of this podcast. That's mailbag. Let's go into the actual mail.
Okay. Do you want to go first or you go first?
Oh, sure. I don't know which one I should start with.
Start with the longer one.
The longer one. Okay, it's from Dustin Kreider. And Dustin says, "Hi, Amanda and Mike. I'm a new Arrowhead. I've been a fan of the DC Universe in general since I was little, beginning with Super Friends, but I never watched Arrow until recently. I checked out the episodes of Barry Allen and then proceeded to watch the entire first season and all the season 2 episodes to date over the holidays. This is a fantastic show, and I'm really impressed with the quality. I also really like how they are building up to a version of the DCU on TV. This show has so many references to a larger world, and we see even more of that with The Flash soon to hit our screens. I like to listen to podcasts on my favorite shows, so I'm working my way through all the previous Quiver episodes. Even though I just began watching Arrow, I actually already knew Quiver existed from listening to Geek Out Loud with Steve Glosson. Thanks for enhancing my fan experience. One question for you all. What's your favorite episode to date? Mine is City of Heroes, since that is a pivotal episode for Oliver as he becomes a hero instead of a vigilante. Thanks, Dustin." So that's great. Thanks for the shout out about Quiver. So Geek Out Loud, big fan of the Quiver podcast, which is great, and Steve. So I'm glad that people are hearing about us. And welcome to the Arrowhead community, Dustin.
Yeah.
And favorite episode. So favorite episode of Arrow. And I think the reason we chose this email is for Mike's next remark. What's your next remark?
Yeah, I don't have a favorite episode of this show. Because there are sort of like encapsulated standalone episodes every now and then. But so much of what makes this show awesome is that from the first episode, they were planting seeds that you then, you know, like you harvest later on in that season, all the way up until the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it is not a 1 hour experience every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's very serialized and it's one story that just happens to be cut up into these digestible chunks, because otherwise we just die because we wouldn't eat or sleep or, you know,
that's
do any of the human things.
Then you'd be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if this would be one of those shows that you would have to binge watch. And I'm sure for those who were catching up over the break on season one and stuff like that on Netflix, I'm sure
it's
that there's
a
lot of binge
show.
Watching.
It's a heavy show to do that much too. It's crazy. So much happens.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite episode?
I don't, but I have a favorite. This is actually an odd, and I'm just sort of processing it as we're talking about it. I have a favorite moment from season two, and it's because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite moments actually is when Count Vertigo unlocks the Dollmaker from prison.
Yeah.
That was just like such exactly what you're talking about. Like this idea that they plant these seeds and then they don't let you forget about it. Like as an audience member, they're like, here's this thing that happened like a long time ago. We're still going to, here's a little nod to that.
Yeah.
Like, and I just love it when they can bring back like, again, because I think about it from a very practical standpoint. Like, they have to pay an actor. They have to bring him back as a principal role. They have to put him... But, like, there's just, like, things that come involved with that the creators are like, no, this is, like, a substantive moment that will mean something. And I love those moments on Arrow. So it's more like a collective series.
And they're
things.
You'll discover this as you read more comics. But that is a classic comics move.
Right.
Right? Okay. Is to go back. And, I mean, back in the day, it used to be a little yellow box. Like somebody would say something like, Spider-Man would make an offhanded remark about the time that Green Goblin killed Gwen Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it would just be like,
spoiler
for like 1960s. Okay. There's like a pivotal moment in comics history. Yeah. Sorry. It's not a spoiler. It's like, and then these guys wrote this comic. It's called Superman. Spoilers.
Okay.
And so Spider-Man make an offhand comment while fighting the Green Goblin, like, oh, that time that you killed Gwen Stacy, and there'd be a little asterisk next to it, right? And that asterisk would, like, correlate to a little yellow box with another asterisk that says, editor's note, see issue number whatever. I really wish I knew what issue of
that
Amazing
would be, like,
Spider-Man
your
that happened.
Like,
yeah, I don't know, right. but... That's how comics used to work back in the day when like continuity started to become a thing.
People would, in
the 60s and 70s. You would have all that sort of thing.
Right.
Now in modern comics, it's generally because storytelling has come further, especially in comics. Now you'll get those cool moments exactly like that, where we see one supervillain breaking out, and in that they've let another supervillain out, and it's like, so oh, that's cool because I remember two issues ago.
When this villain was doing this, right? And it was more so like the character cool development of Count Vertigo as well, right? That he went and selectively chose who to take out of the thing. I agree with what Dustin was saying. I think City of Heroes was a great episode because what he's talking about is the transition between hero and vigilante.
Yeah.
And my other two things that I just want to say, like my favorite guest appearance and my least favorite guest appearance, and it could be correlated with the two episodes, but like I actually really enjoyed all the stuff with the Flash. Obviously that brought a lot of people like Dustin to the show, which is cool. I liked that character development when it wasn't about the Flash stuff, but like his interaction with between the like Ollie and Felicity relationship I thought was really interesting and I think worked well. And my least favorite was Huntress, because I don't think they utilized her as well as they could have in terms of a character development. She was Huntress. She came on and she was able to be like, I'm shooting things with arrows, but like it didn't enhance her like character, and I think that that's a contrast between those two things, is that like Barry Allen came on and he was Barry Allen, not the Flash, but he was the Flash. Like when we watched it, we're like, you're the Flash, and you became. Whereas the Huntress came on and they're like, look at Huntress, and we're like, but I can't even tell you the character's name nor the actress's name right now. Like my completely brain is going like completely. It's also because I don't really know that
Huntress. Well, it's Helena Burton.
Helena, yeah. See, there you go. Exactly. So like, but like, so that's just, anyways, in terms of like episode developments, those are reasons why. And it's all based on those, like, what are the choices you're making as the characters and how they're relating to other people? So that's what distinguishes like a really like an episode that really hits home for me, and maybe one that's maybe not my favorite.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Let's read another one. This one is from Scott McClellan, and he says, Dear Amanda and Mike, my name is Scott from Birmingham. I'm going to say Alabama. AL is Alabama,
I think,
right?
Birmingham. It's not Alaska. Birmingham, that's AK. Alabama. I feel like that's like that something that people say.
And I am a brand new fan of Quiver. I found out about the podcast thanks to Stephen Amell posting on Facebook about his interview.
Yay.
I marathoned the entire run in a 2.5 week span and just finished yesterday. This was December 31st when I sent this in. I love listening to you guys and look forward to watching the show with you and the Arrowhead community. So that's cool, because like that's
awesome.
He's now part of
the community. Glad we can keep you company over the Christmas break.
Yeah. That's good. Since this is my first email, would you indulge me in my one and only fanboy gripe / correction / preference about Arrow? The show does so many things right, but their pronunciation of Ra's al Ghul bugs me, and I blame the Nolan films. According to Denny O'Neill, the character's creator, and every DC animated project since Batman the Animated Series, his name is pronounced Ra's al Ghul, not Ra's al Ghul. I believe the name is from Arabic, and there was even a scene in the Batman Beyond Season 3 episode, Out of the Past, written by Paul Dini, where Terry McGinnis uses the Ra's pronunciation and is corrected by Talia, calling it a common mispronunciation. I know this is picky fanboy junk, but it just sounds wrong and pulls me out of the episode sometimes when they say it. But even my dad, another Arrowhead, comments on it from time to time. What are your thoughts about the way characters have their name pronounced, especially when it originates in a written medium? Looking forward to January 15th and your eventual return. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. That's from Scott. So this is a controversy all over the DC universe. It has been for a long time. This is difficult because I always forget what the correct pronunciation is, because Ra's al Ghul means the demon's head. Like it's I believe it is Arabic for the demon's head. I know it means the demon's head. I can't remember what language it's from. And I have a friend, Andrew, who he has done extensive research on this because he's the kind of guy who needs to know what the proper pronunciation is, because if he doesn't know, it's going to bug the heck out of him. And so I meant to consult with him before we did this, but I kept forgetting to ask. For me, I fall on the side of Ra's al Ghul, just because that's kind of what the common the common vernacular dictates. In a lot of mediums, that's what he's been referred to as. It kind of goes back and forth. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Because it looks like Ra's al Ghul, and because it is a written medium.
Isn't this like a language thing? If it's based in a language that's not English, that means that it's been romanized, especially if it's from, like, Arabic or whatever it's from. Which means that it's a pronunciation, and we just have horrible accents when we say Ra's al Ghul. Yeah. So it's just about whether or not... But the thing is, if this is what language does... I've been thinking about this a lot recently, actually, in language and how language works and, like, what's the proper thing and how it works. I, as somebody who is, like, not familiar with the Batman comics or, like, the written form, have only ever experienced that name through the movies. Like, Batman Begins and all these things when they call him Ra's al Ghul.
Because Amanda hasn't watched Batman the Animated Series or Batman Beyond.
Sorry.
Because she doesn't like Batman.
I have a preference for other superheroes over Batman. So, anyways.
Which is the Canadian way of saying she doesn't like Batman.
But he's just so boring. Anyways.
I don't disagree.
Okay, yeah.
Continue.
I will eventually read that comic. Anyways. So, the idea that, like, to me, when you say Ra's al Ghul, I'll know who that is. But if you say it the other pronunciation, I don't even know what the other pronunciation is. What do you say?
Ra's
al Ghul. I wouldn't know who that was.
Yeah.
Which defeats the purpose of language, right? Language is to, like, give you an identifier. And it's one thing, too, then that I need to understand. I'm like, oh, I'm pronouncing that wrong based on, like, the language that it was originally in or whatever that is. But once it gets, like, romanized or translated and then used, then you have the ability to, like, adapt that. Yes. That's why, I mean, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. I know it's a horrible example, but, like, I understand what a potato is, and I understand what a potato is.
Yes.
And so, like, the ability that it can be both, because to me, Ra's al Ghul is something, and it means something to me, and that language now is part of, like, my cultural understanding of Batman or whatever it is.
Well, you know, hopefully what we'll get is this nice medium where everybody's been calling him Ra's al Ghul the whole time, and then oh man, I just had her name a second ago.
Talia?
No, her sister, the one that's supposed to show up.
Oh,
It's like Naya or
something like that. Something with an N. Oh,
When she shows up, if that, like they could
totally do one of those. They could do that. Like, yeah, you're pronouncing
exactly
it wrong.
Like in Batman Beyond,
which would make sense, and because that's when you do it, right? When you have people and you're like, you're saying this word wrong. And you're like, I'm sorry, I'm saying it the way that I've always heard it said. Yeah. I will now be conscious of it being something different, and then probably when I say it, go like Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul or whatever, right? Because that's how when I like correct myself or something, I'm like, this is how I say it. This is maybe how it's supposed to say.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that I could be wrong, but there's people that make choices like that all the time, right? And how they say something, and they're like, I'm going to choose to do it.
I have a friend who insists on calling Boba Fett Boba Fett. Like Baba, like Ali Baba Fett, like Boba Fett.
Okay.
Like one word.
Why?
Like,
Because
he feels like pronouncing it's not the Boba Fett's not the only thing
that
he says wrong.
Like, other
like, and the thing that drives me nuts about it, and I, we have other friend like mutual friends who are on the same page as I am. Han Solo says, he says it twice in a row. Boba Fett, Boba Fett, where? Like, he says it twice. And he pronounces it that way, and that's how you say
maybe
Boba
he pronounces
Fett.
It wrong.
Maybe Han that's Solo. Whole,
maybe
it wrong.
Han Solo is suffering from the case of the Ra's al Ghul.
It is spelled B-O-B-A, so it is Boba. That's not it, because Django then also says Boba. And he says it. With an accent, which like your
can
your
I
point
be saying,
of like the accent.
I'm gonna like, but this is the idea too. But that's again in like a romanized using the basis of the English language as like how vowels are pronounced when they're after consonants, yada yada yada. Which again is different depending on what language you're
sure,
working in.
Sure, but you get into a very murky area where
you
the
do.
Word literally no longer literally means what literally means.
Because language can evolve. Oh my gosh.
That's
dude,
wrong.
Dude,
that's
don't wrong. Don't even go there. I just had a really in-depth conversation about this idea about who owns language and how language
exists. Can be bastardized over time.
It can't
I
be,
agree
oh,
with you,
then
but
the
it
language
shouldn't
that
be.
We're speaking,
beyond that now.
Okay, this is such a tangent that we could go into like forever for this idea, but no, because I think that the whole point of language is so that you can like communicate and understand things, and there's no reason why
and
that
the key,
can't change.
And the key to proper, clear communication that doesn't cause conflict is in agreeing on the meaning of a word and not...
Do you know what YOLO means?
Sorry?
Do you know what YOLO means?
you only live once. Yes.
But if I know, but that's a new, but that's a new thing. Like that's added to the lexicon.
Okay, so you can't like literally, change.
So now when I mean,
let's not have a conversation. No.
When I mean something is literal, like yeah. something is actually happening,
yeah.
not figurative.
Yeah.
I no longer have a word. To
yes,
use.
You do.
What word? What are you going to replace literal?
It's about the context in which it's used. The reason that they've adapted that is because the idea...
It now means the antithesis of what it meant before, though. That's not
correct.
Because
people have been... Because people use
are
it
idiots.
In...
Are idiots.
Okay.
Because people are poorly educated and we're allowing ignorance to dictate language. That's not okay because then... Because that, like, where are you going to draw a line? Because if you literally can't draw the line at literal... Then there is no line. Like, then any word means anything. And I can say to you, bleep, blop, blabble.
I don't think
and I just,
changed.
I just defend
well,
it. No,
oh
no, you
God.
Have no recourse anymore, Amanda, because what I just said, bleep, blop, blabble, is the perfect argument. You just don't
understand
the
academic in
words.
Me is wanting to, like, rage at you right now, and I'm going to write, like, a 12-page paper, like,
go for it.
Like, debasing everything. It's about a conversation. Anyways, I don't want to, I really, like, because I have, like, conversations about this all the time with people with the idea of language and, like, communication, and just because, like, words mean something doesn't mean that they can't change. And this idea, this is exactly what we're talking about for Roz and Raish. If it's Raish, mm-hmm. and we've changed that to Roz, and now Roz means something, I don't know, it's I don't know. I just think that that's like an ignorant way of like talking about things that we like that your opinion is the right one because.
But it's not opinion. Like there's a dictionary, and the dictionary says
why is the dictionary the be all and end all of everything? You know why the dictionary is there? Because it's a reflection of human consciousness and what human beings have agreed collectively could be a good idea.
Yeah,
we can choose to believe that or we can choose to think that the dictionary is wrong.
I think that it's a very sad state of affairs. It goes right alongside, you no longer have to have English in order to graduate from a high school. You can now have communications. And to me... That's a watering down of the education system and changing the word.
This is Canadian, by the way. We're talking about Canadian.
Yeah, this is Canadian.
And communications is like a different level of English. Like in English class, we have to do like English literature with certain like required readings. Whereas communications is just a different kind of the use of English classroom curriculum, where it's not so much based on literary highbrow canon culture. It's instead. Based on communicative structures that you use in everyday life,
that's a really, really nice way of justifying it.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is that people who fall behind...
Your opinion of the matter is...
Are then left behind, and so you create a new structure so that they can complete high school.
Cool. And
like,
then you know
what
also does? That also creates different kinds of cultures in humanity, which I think is not necessarily a negative thing.
I think that language should be held to a certain standard. It's important that we communicate.
Dude,
clearly.
I'm ignorant in 99.9% of all human language. I don't know. I'm illiterate in 99.9%. I can't communicate with over half of the world's population.
Sure. Okay.
And so, like, it's just a relative thing.
But the people that
thing.
Speak your language, you should be able to clearly communicate with them. Like, that, it's...
But then that I don't know, there's just, like, a whole bunch of, like, cultural bias with that as well, and
I'm not like, saying that this is only applying to English, though. That I'm not applying a cultural bias.
What about people that have like speech disorders and they can't communicate in the same way that you can, but they can use other like context clues based in like
sure,
the
as,
language that you're using?
As long as there's a consistency to
so
it, and we can agree that the word literal means literal and not the antithesis of literal, and because so many people poorly use a word. That we then go, you know what, strike that one from the language. It now means the opposite. When there's already a word, for
but
it. The word
but
is
you
figurative.
Understand why that happened, right? Because people started using the word literal in a way when they're
because
like...
Because people were poorly read.
No,
and they continued
to people
use
knew
it
what,
improperly.
Why would you... No, because people would know what the word literally meant and then they would use it. It's hyperbolic. Right? When you use the word literally
sure.
when it's
yes.
not literally, you're using it hyperbolically, which then
yes.
has the ability... So when someone still says literal, there's... Sure, there's a segment of the population that you're allowed to, like, look down on. Whatever. You can choose to do that, Michael. But for me, I have, like, enough faith that the idea of, like, a cultural context and the idea of you going, like, ugh! I literally died going up that hill. It was so awful. I know that I didn't mean, right? Like, you understand that you're using a hyperbolic term. That's why the term has been able to evolve over time.
Yeah, okay, but that doesn't mean that, because I understand, and I agree with you, that you can use a word as hyperbole in order to express yourself. Yeah. That's poetic license, and I agree with you. Poetic license exists for a reason. Mm-hmm. Poetic license doesn't then, like, we don't go like, well, the poetic license is such common phrase that now we change the meaning of the original word. Because now you're
all the time.
But now you're rendering the poetic license inert.
But it happens. Because now all the
hyperbole
the time,
is not hyperbole
but
anymore.
But that happens all
because now it's like
the time.
I stubbed my toe.
But Mike,
I literally cried for days.
Mike,
I literally cried for days.
That happens to language but now that all doesn't the mean time. Anything. The fact that you're
it
stuck on
it shouldn't
the word,
though.
I wish. I am very sorry because I haven't Googled this and I wasn't prepared for this debate today. But I would have come up with. I bet you there are 1,000 words that you could Google right now that would have. Ooh, over the last 150 years, they've completely changed their.
I'm not discounting those facts, Amanda. I know that language has evolved over time.
You just think it's wrong.
I think that at the point that we are now, where we have a global communication system, the world is a much smaller place.
The ability for language to mean something different is even more powerful.
No, the ability, the importance of language and consistency within language is more important than ever now.
Can I apologize to everybody listening to this podcast that you have, like, this is one of those...
This is a special mailbag.
Amanda,
if you apologize for one more thing, I'm getting a new co-host. Stop apologizing.
Are we allowed
to
talk about the word literally for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
And people will care about it.
It is our podcast, okay. And we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. Okay. Look, the emails that we've got here are not saying, like, God,
please talk about only this thing.
Can you guys talk about this one thing and never talk about anything?
Okay, fine.
It's people writing in to ask us about things. And that question was about language.
It was,
and we
true.
Just had a conversation
about
language.
In all fairness, we did. So I hope that that is useful conversation. And I enjoy these kinds of conversations. I do. I would keep talking with you about this right now, but I want to, let's get back to some emails. Because...
Okay, go ahead. You got another one.
Let's
go
back to emails. From Dan Reamer, whose email, I don't know, I always get confused when the, from is different than the name, but anyways, says, hey guys, welcome back. Let me say that you guys do an amazing job on the podcast every week. Seriously, you kill it. Well, I wait not so patiently for Arrow to return. I'd like to talk about you, our gracious hosts. I'm curious about the creative process you guys go through to put the podcast together each week. Think you could walk us through it from when the episode airs to when the podcast goes live? Is it just the two of you, or do others get involved in any way? As a co-host of a video game podcast, I suppose I might be more interested in the technical side than most, but the creative process fascinates me. Thank you for taking the time to do all that you do. It matters. Stay sharp and fly true, Dan Reamer. What a great...
So this was a total ego-driven question for me
this
to include, because the majority of what he's asking about is my job.
Yeah.
The creative front. Here's that. I'll run you guys through an average week in Quiverland.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say in the Quiver.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to an episode, Amanda and I will shoot text messages back and forth to confirm whether or not we are recording, in fact, on Wednesday like we're supposed to, or whether or not one of us feels like we have something much more important to do. And, like, there's no subtext there. Anyway.
No, it's
we're
like,
equally as bad. Like, one of us, I'll be like, I really want to go to this improv show that my friend invited me to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to inconvenience you this week. And then Amanda
and then
will be like, I have a production meeting that we have to have because we're shooting this thing.
Yeah.
I have to inconvenience you because I have no other time to do it. And,
it happens rarely, but it does happen.
No, but it does happen. Yeah. It happens.
It happens a lot.
It happens enough. It does. But it's a thing, right?
But I do schedule Wednesdays off. Like, we do schedule Wednesdays to do this. Like, I teach classes and I schedule
them
off.
Yeah, so. And it's a planned regular thing. And I think that right there is the most important part, that consistency. And if we do, we have not missed a week yet on this podcast. That has meant twice that we needed to pull in some guest hosts.
Yeah.
And so far I haven't missed an episode, but sooner or later I will. I'm planning on going to Disneyland in February. Ooh, yes. I think we leave on the Thursday and come back on the Tuesday.
No, that so could
I
be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Miss any episodes? Yeah. Yeah. But I believe that this also might be during the Olympics, so there might not be episodes anyways.
Fun.
I don't know what the schedule is going to be like. But,
when that happens, we sort of find...
But yeah, I mean, like, there are other people that we can rely on to pull in when those situations come up. Mm-hmm. But generally what happens on a typical week is that we'll sort it out, figure out what day we're recording, usually a Friday. Mm-hmm. I will get home from work about half an hour before Amanda shows up. She'll arrive at my door, and we will pretty quickly usually put on the episode.
Yeah.
And watch the episode for the first time. Watching it from the East Coast feed, because I record the East Coast feed, so we're usually watching it about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So usually about an hour before the West Coast is getting it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll finish, and we'll go, okay, cool. We finished. It's 8 o'clock. We can totally do this before 9.
And then
we will have a conversation like we just did.
Yeah, for about 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes.
About something completely tangential. And just like...
And usually I've already hit record by this point because we're going to go right into it this week. And what that means is that you guys get these weird conversations tagged onto the end of episodes about completely nonsense stuff. And I know that there are a lot of listeners out there. This is why I think that like a 15-minute diatribe about the word literal is fine because there are a lot of our listeners who really enjoy that part
of
the podcast.
I like them. They're good. I think maybe once in the history of us recording, I think we both had to go somewhere, or like Crystal was coming home and like I had to go and do something. One time did we decide that we were recording right after we were done and we had to go and we couldn't talk about anything, so we just went right into it. But like otherwise, you know, it's 99% of the time that we will sit here for 45 minutes with the record because we have all the best intentions of being like, we're done, let's record now, we'll get it done. And then I usually never leave here till like late.
And then we will record the episode. I print off a couple of emails or whatever.
Yeah.
Any news that needs to be reported, and then like I said, record the episode. You guys know how that goes because you listen to it every week.
And that doesn't. And I mean, it's probably obvious because we actually watch the episode, so it's in real time. But we don't cut the episode. Like basically, what you guys hear is
there's
us.
No editing.
We don't edit the stuff. Like I know there's some other people that when you go to podcasts,
I've had to edit for content once, that was in an interview.
Yes,
and that was because we were having a conversation and something was said that wasn't supposed to be said for public ears. Yeah. I had to cut out of the middle of an episode once. Actually, I guess maybe I've done it more than that because
there's a couple of things. I think I swore in one episode that you had to edit, but we try really hard to just.
I didn't cut it out. I just put sound effects.
Oh,
over.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah, the majority of the time, I literally just grab the audio, chop off the beginning and the end, throw the
tags on there.
The credits on it. Credits are not credits, but the intro and outro.
Yeah.
And then the majority of the time that I spend putting together an episode when I'm editing is listening to that 20 to 45 minutes beforehand or sometimes afterwards.
Yeah.
And listening for the part where, what we're talking about is okay. And we can publicly
and it makes some sort of
that.
Sense.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice snippet where we can cut that out and just tag it on at the end.
Yeah.
And it's got sort of like a beginning, middle, and an end of a thought.
Yeah.
And then I upload it to Libsyn is the service that we use.
Which is great. I actually like Libsyn. Yeah. They're great for stats if you're doing podcasts.
Yes,
they're really
So yeah, that we know how many downloads, who's downloading from where, all that sort of stuff. It's really cool. And then I'll write up a WordPress post. Post that, and when I post that, it posts to Facebook and Twitter and groups and all that sort of stuff, and then you guys are listening to it. So
as for the creative process, it comes from the fact that me and Mike have been friends for a really long time and talk about geeky things, and so the conversation we have about Arrow is basically just us being able to have conversation, and we're both knowledgeable about different things, and we bring that into our conversation and try our best to, you know.
It's not really a creative process as it's just a spewing.
Yeah,
from
it's
the
a
mouth
spewing
thing.
Of. Yeah. It's an informed spewing, I would say.
Hopefully, sometimes.
So that's things. I'm always so glad to hear people that really like the show. So that's good. Thanks for listening to us. I love that they call. He called us gracious, which is lovely.
Yes.
Gracious.
Okay, our last email comes from Adrian, and he says, "Hi, you two." I guess Adrian could be a guy or a girl, couldn't it?
Yeah.
They say. They will be gender neutral. Hi, you two. Just listen to your interview with the Arrow himself. Very cool. He seems pretty awesome, and you all had some really good questions. Also, I'm glad that between the two of you, virtually all of my fandom is covered. Nice. I think your other fandoms inform your Arrowheadness, as it were, and that's a good thing. If you were local, I'd invite Mike to a Rebels premiere party, and Amanda to a Doctor Who Series 8 premiere party. Mm-hmm. Always enjoy listening to you both. Later, Adrian.
Cool.
So that's a very nice
invite. It's just
invite.
A nice fandom.
Yeah, I do like that we get to talk about our fandom, other fandoms, every so often, but they don't come up very much because we're so DC-centric.
They come up when we talk, like, outside of the podcast, yes. And we'll be, like, reminded of something. I think it's really cool, because I do love Doctor Who. We tried to tack on after the 50th, a little thing about Doctor Who, because there was a few questions about that, and I'm obviously always keen on talking about that. We don't talk about Star Wars as much as we should, because I'm, like, really bad at catching up on all the, like, Star Wars is how me and Mike became friends.
It is.
We were in high school, is, like, we totally, I hadn't watched the prequels, you made me watch the prequels, man. That was, like, it's maybe dating me a little bit in terms of how old I am, but, like, whatever. Yeah, so it's really, we love our fandoms, and we're, I think, all really active in them. Mike does more video games and comic books, and I do a lot more, like, random television shows. I've gotten really into Korean dramas recently.
Yeah,
well.
I don't understand that, but that's okay,
it's,
that's your
they're really
thing.
Good.
You can go ahead and be into Korean dramas.
So our fandoms, I think it's just, like, part of how we became friends, and part of, like, why we watched... I think we originally watched Lost together was the first thing that we...
No, I think it started with Smallville.
Did it? Smallville and then Lost?
It started just with hanging out. You just came over to watch movies or something.
Fair
and
enough,
then
yeah.
I had episodes of Smallville.
Yeah. And maybe that's what it was.
No, because that would have been like pre-PBR.
No, it was pre... Yeah, it was pre... And
wow.
The thing is, we
so
would...
So it was a point
we
of
would
television.
Watch,
that was
we
the
would
point.
Watch stuff on a like we would watch two shows, and then I remember Lost ending, and we just watched Smallville. It's, I mean, as much as we both live in Vancouver, like Mike lives in Burnaby, which is far away, so it takes me like 45 minutes to get out here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't hang out with him if we didn't do this podcast. Well, I would hang out with him, but it would be much less frequently. So that's the coolest thing, is that we get to get together and talk about our geeky things, and like we both have outlets where we talk about it with other people, obviously.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like,
that was the whole point of the podcast,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that we had. Yeah. An appointment, a reason every week to hang out.
Yeah, which is awesome. So if you have other fandoms, I mean, we talk about a few different things, but I'm always interested in, like, other things that people are exploring or that like. So if you like...
Well, I have another podcast, two other podcasts, I guess, technically, although one hasn't started airing yet. But I've had Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast, which is my Star Wars one, mm-hmm. for those who might not know. Mm-hmm. Which we're kind of done. We're kind of on hiatus, waiting for the new stuff to air.
Mm-hmm.
Or not necessarily air, just come out in any shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a whole complicated thing that we don't need to get into for those who aren't Star Wars fans. But if you're into Star Wars, if you were into the Clone Wars, then that's a cool thing to check out.
Yeah.
And I will be doing a podcast for Rebels. I mean, we have to wait and see what happens with The Flash and if it gets picked up to series, but there's a possibility of another podcast spinning out of that. So,
fun, yeah.
I mean, like, there's lots of other
things
of other geekdom stuff.
Yeah. I do some stuff too with, like, a few friends in Vancouver. We go to conventions and do stuff for 4Geeks Media, but that's, like, really little, but we had a podcast on Geeksploitation for that. And, And I do other stuff with, like, literary based work. But anyways,
such as what?
Such oh yeah, this is a good.
Yeah, this
such
is
as,
a good.
I'm gonna
keep working on my drawing here
and
while you just
I'm
go ahead
just
and
talk about because I don't draw and I don't do the creative things that Mike does. But I created a web series which I really love, and it's called Blank Verse. And I think I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast.
A little bit, but go ahead, talk all.
It's about William Shakespeare and the great writers of his time, reimagined as modern day university students. That's the tagline, and it's really awesome. We just finished our first season, and the Tumblr community has been really great at, like, being involved with the show, and I think it's pretty awesome, especially if you can come in like Act 3, if you're interested at all in sort of like, it's like Lizzie Bennet-esque. I don't know how many people watching Arrow are like involved in the online community or Vlogbrothers or things like that, but Hank Green is a great creator and does a lot of stuff for the internet that's literary based, so I was really into that as a fandom, and really thought that that was a really interesting model to tell stories within, and so I got really interested in the web series world, and there's a ton of web series too. I don't know if people that were just discovering this podcast, I know that that was a thing when Steven posted on his Facebook wall that people didn't even know what podcasts were, and I think that web series might be a world that's also a little bit alien to some people, that they might not understand that there's actually like a rich world of storytelling that comes from all sorts of independent content creators that are online, and you can find them great ones get curated through web series festivals, and there's other just like online communities where you can especially Tumblr is a great place to go through for people talking about shows, and you can usually find anything, there's all sorts of stuff. So anyways, that was something I really liked, and then I started creating something for the web, and I'm really proud of it. There was like a team of like 150 of us that we got together, and
you know we're not on a time limit, right? Like, you can take your time.
I feel bad talking
don't
about
feel
bad.
This is a special
related.
Episode.
It is.
Anybody,
and
I'm telling
you
right now,
fandoms,
anybody who doesn't care about what you have to say right now is
true.
Not listening
That's
to this
true.
Episode. They're just waiting for
January
16th or
whatever.
Thanks
for listening to what I say. Thanks. Yeah. Anyway, so it's really cool. And if you want to talk about anything literary based, I'm all over that. Or if you have suggestions for that. Or if you're interested in, like, if you sort of like literary genres, which, you know, why not? Go check out some of those web series. There's Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which I really like. And then there's a couple other that are sort of similar to that. People are making a Hamlet web series. There's, like, an Edgar Allan Poe web series. There's the autobiography of Jane Eyre. And then Art Blank Verse. So if you like William Shakespeare, you can go and watch that one.
Where can people find
it? You can find it online, blankverse.tv. Or you can just Google Blankverse TV and you'll find it. It's like the first 7 links. And there's like a whole... Anyways, check it out. It's on YouTube. And if you are going to dive in. Like, it gets a lot better in the third, fourth act. And we have an awesome Thanksgiving special. So if you're just going to watch one thing, you can do that. That was my shout out to all the American people that like I've been engaged with through fandom. And being like, oh, American Thanksgiving's like a big deal. And so we shot it on Canadian Thanksgiving, which I thought was really cool. We all got together on Canadian Thanksgiving, shot an American Thanksgiving special. It's hilarious. It's William Shakespeare getting high with Chris Marlowe and Tom's kid in a car. And Richard Burbage and Ben Johnson. And they're just talking about like being middle class millennials. Anyways, it's fun. So yeah, check that out if you're interested. I really love the support if you are interested in stuff that I'm making. Mike does...
You have a Kickstarter?
Oh, I do have a... Yeah, and we're running a Kickstarter for the second season. Mike, what would I do without you? Thank you for, like, helping me guide my life. We really want to make a second season. We did the first one for, like, no money, which was amazing because there's amazing people in Vancouver creating amazing things. Not only does it go all the way up to, like, the people that are working on Arrow, but it also goes all the way to, like, recent grads and people that just want to make awesome things. So we were able to do that. It's such a significant amount of work, and thanks to people that were supportive of that. And if you, even just sharing, I would love it if people would, like, share the series or even just tell people about it. Because even if you don't like it, I think it's a really great thing that we created, and I really would love people to watch it and engage with it. So if you're interested in that, you can go, Blankverse TV. It's a web series, and we're running a Kickstarter for season 2, and that goes all the way to March. And you can get an awesome soundtrack. Even if you just like music, you can check out the Damocles. We have some cool songs that we've created all from, we have a composer working on the series that's done all original music and compositions for it. So it's really awesome. That's what I do with all of my spare time. I get to channel my geeky energy into making awesome things because I think stories are amazing. So story, I don't know, that's the reason we talk about stuff is because we love stories so much. And we get to do our own different things. And Mike has art. He's doing art right now. He's like,
I'm working on I have an art show called 8 Bits of Destiny.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That we do. Which isn't really great to plug because it's kind of a local thing. We don't really do much online. Yeah. I keep telling myself that this year is going to be the year that I change that. We do an online art show and all sorts of stuff. The fact of the matter is that between Quiver and Frontlines and real life and,
it gets to be a lot.
And work and stuff like that. Yeah, like I haven't had time. And then actually running the art show when it comes around to the art show.
Yeah.
But I finished Link Between Worlds, the new Zelda game, over the Christmas break. And so now I'm doing an art piece for that. So if anybody wants to see it, you can go to my Tumblr. That's a good place to see it, arcwolf.tumblr.com. So it's just Link with all of his gear and stuff from the game. But if people want to check that out.
Yeah. That's you've got other stuff on your Tumblr, too. Or do you still have your website with all the different drawings?
Well, DeviantArt is the best place to go to see a collection of my art, although it's not as up-to-date as it could be, because Tumblr came around, and Tumblr is so much easier to post to than DeviantArt. But it's this is the difficult one. It's archangel-wolf.deviantart.com, but it's spelled A-R-K, and I mean, it's Arkwolf, right? Like A-R-K-W-U-L-F. So if you extrapolate that into Archangel Wolf, I think most people are clever enough to figure
out. So the wolf is with a U.
Yeah, the wolf is with a U, yeah. So that's where you can see the majority of my art online.
Cool.
So there we go. We did some self-promotion there.
We did. Thanks for letting us do self-promotion. Thanks for watching. Oh my gosh, the YouTube link now has like over 25,000.
The last time that I looked at it, it was over 25,000, and that was a few days ago.
So
who knows what.
So it's awesome. At now. Thank you for people staying away from being trolls, which is awesome. I love that. Yes. Like, oh my gosh, how amazing is this community that we talked about the cool things that we said and not who we are as people, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. Because that's always a thing when you put yourself out there in the internet. So
yeah, it is very cool to be part of a community that 25,000 25,000 views.
Yeah.
And it was something like 450 thumbs up.
Yeah, it was a couple, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And one thumbs down.
Yeah, which I'm fine. Like, I feel like more people dislike that than actually put a thumbs down.
I feel and I also, I feel like that, as much as like it's supposed to be a negative sign when you're getting thumbs down, I feel like if we had more thumbs down, I would be even happier.
I would be too.
Because it would mean that we're hitting like such a big audience, right? That there are people that just hate us.
Yeah, but right now it's just people going like, yeah, Quiver,
people either like us or are indifferent to us. And I'm
okay. Mostly Stephen Amell. Stephen Amell going, I did this thing, and everyone's like, Stephen Amell's awesome.
But then a lot of the comments are also like, wow, you guys did a really good job. This is a really great
interview. So thank you. We appreciate the support.
And we don't take all of the credit for that. They were your questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we could not have interviewed Stephen Amell. We've said this before. Yeah. But without you guys, that wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have gotten to meet him
this is such a weird thing to do, Mike. We're talking at your phone and a microphone, and I always forget that there are people behind this that like, actually listen to us talk. And that's just like, I really hope to meet some of you soon and... You know, it's all good. Engage and have conversations with us, and that's so awesome. So, thank you for that. Is this the end of our mail? We talked for a really long time about such random... This is like a fun episode. I like it. Kind of random. It was just me and Mike getting to sort of chat a little bit and hang out. So, that was good.
Let us know what you thought about this episode.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think about the word literal.
Oh, and let us know, too, on that fandom tangent. I've got a couple people asking if we could do, like, a Doctor Who podcast or different things like that. And I'm just wondering, like, I could maybe do one with, like, a different, like, with Mike Exploitation or something like that. If people are interested in hearing our opinions on other things, let us know. Because we could always take suggestions. I can just go talk for, like, a half an hour about Stephen Moffat rage or whatever you guys want. So that would be interesting if people are interested in doing that, or even just awesome conversations happening on the Quiver group, which is amazing. A lot more people coming on there and having awesome conversations. Again, even if something seems like it's starting to get into a ragey place, I feel like it calms itself down quite quickly. I just want to like give a shout out to everybody that's like creating a really awesome community on that page, and the ability for us to realize that like if we post something and then someone responds negatively, there's just as much of a like great conversation that can come from that as there is from the post itself. So thank you for just being a part of this awesome community and for letting us talk to you each week. And we will see you next week for the return of the Arrow.
Yeah, what's the
January 15th? Oh, I have no idea what
the
episode
title
is.
I don't know what the title is.
It's something awesome with people. Yeah. It would be good if we knew. We should really get more on top of the like actual like professionalism of the like. But you know, you're listening to this. You know, Arrow.
Best produced, least professional podcast on the internet. We said that from the beginning, it's a motto that is very easy to live by. So.
It is. Awesome.
You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Quiver Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com /Quiver Podcast, but 5,000 of you
over
there already. Yay. So there's a lot of you. You can find links to the group from there. Quiverpodcast.com is the website, and mail@quiverpodcast is how you can send in your comments and thoughts. And we will talk about them on the show.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening, as always.
And you can, again, I'm Amanda Konkin. You can follow me on Twitter and continue the conversation @AKONKIN.
And I'm @ArkWulf, ArkWulf.
So thank you for that. And we will see you next week. Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
All done.
Yay.
We're just gonna take a break so that Crystal can make some food.
Cool.
And then we only have one more question left.
Okay. Someone called you gracious.
Yeah. Wow.
So this will be the tagline of this episode after the credits.
Hi, Crystal. So lovely to see you.
Why are you sitting on me? You're the worst.
Well, happy birthday!
Thank you. Yay. Was yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm old now. It's
Amanda ate one of your cupcakes.
What?
I tried to suck.
Come on! Michael, why would you do that? You said I could have a cupcake. No, you said I could have one.
See? This is...
Did you seriously not?
Oh, come on.
Oh my God. Michael, you said I could have a cupcake. Now I feel like... Oh my God.
She's messing with you. She...
No, I think she's actually like upset that I ate one of her cupcakes.
No, you're not messing with me, because I see right through you.
But I don't, seriously, and I feel like I look upset at you. Why are you crying? You're so funny.
Because in order to sell me,
she I has have to like, sell spew tears.
Like.
Wow, that's not manipulative.
Crystal's so gullible that when she tries to trick somebody else, she tricks herself first. And then it becomes a situation of her not remembering what was the truth. She doesn't right now. She's not 100% clear whether or not she's upset.
I'm upset that I'm not eating right now.
Eat right now, then.